All right. Well, you guys, let me continue with our series. Hopefully it's going to touch where you live. If it doesn't, bummer. I'm really sorry. I'm sorry about that. But I think it'll touch on where we all live because it's really what we're all about. So we're in the middle of this series called Find Your Focus, of really trying to help you as an individual and us as a whole find our focus. I find it kind of odd that we're in this process of considering a building in finding our focus, even had that's part of it, maybe, and saying, God, is this what you want us to do? And I love the fact, you guys, that now the decision is going to be made by the congregation, right? 75% of the congregation has to agree with this, or it's a no. Then we're going to have to really trust that God, if it's 74% vote yes, then actually God is saying no. That's the deal. Because in the Constitution, we're going to believe in his sovereignty. So if it's 74%, God is saying no, 74% said yes. And then we'll question if you walk with God at all, because he's saying no, why did you vote yes? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Now, if it's 76%, then we have to trust that God is saying yes, right? I mean, just circumstantially, we're going to have to say, okay, that's the way we set it up. And God is providential, and he is sovereign, and we can trust him in this. So just finding our focus on what he wants us to do. Now, in a while, we'll get to the area of equip, which is the key word is maturity. We really want people to be mature in their walk. Next, after that, we're going to talk about praying. It's all about dependence. Prayer is really actually depending on God in its realness, that we can depend on him, we can lean on him, we can step on him. We can say, I need you so badly, I need you like a rock under my feet. And that we would pray and do that. And then we're going to talk about reach, which is all about compassion, care, concern, love for people. And we're going to reach. But we started here with the area of belong, which is all about connection with each other. Or really connection not just with each other, but with him. And last week, here's what we talked about. We talked about the fact that the question was, what prevents us from experiencing to belongingness or connectedness? What prevents us? And the answer is this, is our brokenness. And the brokenness of those around us, the sinful independence that we create between us and God and us and each other, this independence. And as a result of that, we talked about the fact that we hide and we hurl, just like Adam and Eve did. You know, they hid themselves and they started hurling insults at each other. And they begin to kind of pile on blame, you know, God, the woman that you gave me, God, you know, it's her fault, you know, and it's the shame that they felt and they cover up, and we still do the same thing today. And the second reason was sometimes our circumstances. The reality of where we are in life sometimes makes it hard to belong. And unfortunately, in a church, that happens. And we want to fight back against that. We want to kind of say, okay, wait a second. Everyone belongs, no matter what your circumstance in life is. So that's where we were last week. So this week we're going to answer a new question, and it's this: how can we experience belongingness? Last week was kind of the negative side, what prevents us. This week we want to talk about what allows us to experience belongingness in this whole thing. And I have a couple of passages I want to look at. So we're going to start in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 8 as kind of the main thing, but we're going to put it in its context, verses 1 through 11. So let's kind of see what it has to say. So in this chapter, he starts out in verse 1 by saying this: now concerning the times and seasons, brothers and sisters, you have no need to have anything written to you. Now considering this, the times and the seasons, where we live, he says, where we're at in life, I have really no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Where you're living, it's got its ups and downs, its ins and outs. And someday the Lord's coming back, we know that. And it'll happen at a time that we can't predict exactly. It's going to come like a thief in the night. You don't really know when that's happening, but here he comes. But we know it's happening. So he doesn't really need to instruct us that much, because we know that where we live someday will be brought to an end as the Lord returns. Now there's part of us that goes, great. In fact, we were standing out here this morning, and it's like, hey, that is going to be awesome being with him. And the question was, are there donuts? And I don't know if there's donuts. But one person thought, well, it's good. They just have to think donuts, and the experience will overcome them, whether they have it or not. And I'm thinking, oh, I guess that's good, but I really want the donut. But whatever, but he's coming back. Verse 3, while people are saying, and this is when he's going to come back, look at this, while people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. They're just, the world is aching for peace and security. Someday, there will be someone who will take over as what we'll call the Antichrist, a world leader, who will offer peace and security, and people are going to buy it. But then suddenly there will be destruction because it'll fall apart, because it's not built on God in any way, shape, or form. Like the labor pains of a woman just come on her. She hasn't planned for that day. I mean, they kind of planned for that day, but you don't know exactly today, right? And it just happens. You're like, hey, hey, time to go. And, you know, let's roll. And that's why you have a bag packed and all that, but you're not exactly sure of the day, right? Or the moment. It just happens. I've never done that, but just so you know, I've heard about it. Verse 4, but you are not in darkness, brothers and sisters, for that day to surprise you like a thief. You're not in darkness. That's not where you live, in the darkness and confusion of this world. Look at verse 5. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do. Or Billy, what he's saying is, let's not be ignorant. Let's not be naive. Let's not fall asleep. Let's be alert. Be ready for that day. So he says here, so let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. Now, it's not saying that all, that every evening when it gets dark, that it's an evilness, you know. But he's saying the things that happen in the dark is not what you're about. Because when in the darkness, and there is a uniqueness, isn't it, in our world, that a lot of things happen in the darkness that ought not to happen in the light. But he's saying here, don't be caught up in the issues of darkness. But be caught up in issues of the light. Now look at this in verse 8, and here's the big deal. I love this, so poetic he puts it. But, verse 8, but since we belong to the day. Isn't that an incredible thought? That's where we belong. When you come to Christ, he makes you a citizen of the day, of that which happens in beauty, that which happens in the light, that which is you don't have to hide, that which you don't have to cover up, that which is absolutely beautiful. We are people of the day. I love that thought, that that's where we belong, to the day. So you think about, where do you belong? What does it mean that they have belongingness? Is that you can know, if you're a believer in Christ, that he has transferred you into a whole new place, and he makes you belong to the day. When you get up in the morning, tomorrow morning, well, here's what I want you to think. I belong to the day. I belong to the beauty. I belong to that which is pure and holy and righteous. That's where I belong. Not because I've earned it. In fact, look at this. We don't earn it. Verse 8, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet of the hope of salvation. That covers our key organs, if you will, is this faith and love and the helmet of the hope of salvation. Now look at this in verse 9. For God has not destined us for wrath. That's not what he's destined us for. But to obtain salvation, how? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we get salvation. That's how we get put in a right position. That's what saves us in eternity, is Christ. Now look at this, verse 10. Who, let's highlight this, who died for us. Now, we are not destined for salvation through Jesus because we became such great people. Such awesome, neat, wonderful, do-rights. I don't know about you, but I haven't gotten there. I got a lot of rough edges. I got a lot of quirky, broken pieces to me. But see, we have salvation through Christ who died for us. No greater love has no one than this, that he would die for a friend. That Christ chose to die for me. He chose to die for you. So actually, it's true, if you are the last person on planet Earth, now just picture that for a second, that you're the last person on planet Earth, that he would still send Christ to die for you by name. You know, he'd know you exactly, right? He'd say, hey, you're the only one left. Oh my gosh, would I sacrifice my life just for you? Of course I would, he says. He died for you. So that whatever, look at this in verse 8, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Whether we're alive or have passed on, that we might live with him. Now look at this. Therefore, verse 11, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you are doing. I find it, the thing interesting here is if he says that you are now belong to the day and that you, that Christ died for us, he chose to do it. It was his desire to do it. And as a result of that, what he wants us to do is pretty simple. It's not easy, but it's pretty simple. He says, therefore, here's what I want you to do. Encourage one another. This word encourage is the same word we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in the word comfort. To come alongside in the midst of life and comfort each other. Encourage one another. Give strength to one another. Here's what I want you to do. If you are people of the day, then come alongside each other and encourage one another. And then, and not only that, but to build up one another. It is so easy to discourage and to cut down, isn't it? It just seems to be kind of part of our nature. Now, there's a fun part that we can just fun with that. But eventually, it's so easy to rip and destroy and tear. And he says, here's what I want you to do. If you are belong to the day, I want you to come alongside each other and encourage each other in the midst of all these difficult things. Encourage one another. Comfort one another. Come alongside. Put your arm around them. Give them what they need when life is so hard. When life has a backpack that's too heavy to carry on your own, help them carry it, is what he's saying. Wow. To encourage one another and to build up one another. And then in his politeness, he says, just as you're doing, Thessalonians, you guys have been great out of it, just continue doing it. So when you belong to the day, which is that relationship with Christ, the implication is that you engage one another by encouraging and lifting up one another and building up one another. It has to happen. Wow. You guys, in 1961, Ernie Davis won the Heisman Trophy. Now, interestingly enough, he went to Syracuse University. He's from Pennsylvania. An incredible player, Ernie Davis. It's a story that's told in the movie The Express. You need to get it and watch it. Interesting, though, in 1961, he's the first African-American to ever win the Heisman Trophy. He's probably not the first African-American who was ever good enough to win the Heisman Trophy. But as you and I know, in the civil rights issues of America, before that day, there were so many schools that wouldn't even recruit a black player. And so even the ability to be on a major university and to play, it was a changing part of America. In 1961, he won the Heisman Trophy. He was then drafted by the NFL. He was drafted by the Washington Redskins. But interestingly enough, the owner of the Redskins was a blatantly racist man. And he refused to draft a black player. The Secretary of the Interior at that point, who controlled Washington, D.C., came to the Washington Redskins and said, I'll tell you what, you don't begin to draft black players, you won't play in this stadium because your racism is wrong. The owner of the team couldn't bring himself to draft a black player, so he delegated that responsibility to the head coach. He drafted Ernie Davis that year. Ernie Davis, though, knowing the blatant racism of that owner, said, I don't want to play for you. And they just immediately traded him to the Cleveland Browns. Before he ever got to play one play, Ernie Davis was diagnosed with leukemia. And during that time, he began to really struggle with what to do. But his college coach, a guy named Ben Schwartzwelder, began to take him out, continued to take him under his wing. And he said, hey, I want you to come with me on a recruiting trip. I want you to go to New Haven, Connecticut with me. There's a player there that I'd like to recruit. Will you go with me? He's really good. And in this movie, The Express, we get this clip of him going to recruit Floyd Little, who's a high school player at that point, who eventually played for the Broncos, was all everything. I grew up in Colorado, so Floyd Little was like part of my growing up. You know, he's like, cool. And this clip shows that recruiting trip. Watch this.
There he is, number 77.
He's as good as me?
Maybe better. Ernie, this is Floyd Little. Floyd, this is...
Ernie Davis. 2,386 yards, 360 carries, 6.6 yards a carry.
You're good at math, huh?
You see, my plan is to be just like you. The best Negro running back in the NCAA. Heisman Trophy all the way. In the NFL, make some money.
You got it all figured out, don't you? What kind of bottle do you think this is?
Don't know. Don't have a label.
Right. Could be a soda bottle. It could be a beer bottle. It could be anything. No label. You see, I never set out to be the best Negro running back. I just wanted to be the best running back. The best football player I could be, period. Look, now I'm... Floyd, I'm never going to play for Cleveland. Or any other team. My playing days are over. So don't you look at that post of me on your wall and tell me you want to be like me, because that isn't enough. You're gonna have to do better than that. You think you can?
Yes, sir.
Good.
Ernie Davis died in 1963, 2 years later, of leukemia. Never played one down in the NFL. But along the way, he decided that he would encourage and build up. In the midst of him knowing that he was dying, to encourage Floyd Little in a very unique way. You guys, I wonder if that's what God's calling us to. In the midst of whatever happens in our lives, that we would build up and care for one another because they matter. They're part of the body. Sidelight issue, just over here for a second. Today, in St. Louis, we focus a lot on the sanctity of life, and I'm all for that, right? But you go into the city today, and they are focusing a lot on the Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, birthday weekend. And the white church primarily ignores it. Why? Because the civil rights issues that have existed in this nation for a long, long time, obviously, things that we've ignored since the Revolutionary War days, when they wrestled with should we eliminate slavery, and they didn't do it. It took us 100 years later, that was tearing apart America, and we dealt with it. 100 years later, we began to enter into the civil rights movement, which on the most part has stalled in so many different ways, that your experience and my and their experience, the black community, is very different. And I wonder if this is another place where we as a people, primarily white county, can still not, let's not forget to encourage and build up a part of our community. We're, St. Louis is a flashpoint, right, for this whole issue right now in America. And then we have a chance, I think, and I don't know what it looks like exactly, but to not forget that our black brothers and sisters, all minorities, all civil rights, for the rights of people to stand up and for us to own the responsibility to love those who are different than us. Because they matter. Because they're people. not just to those who are believers, but that's where it's got to start, right? That we would love our Christian brothers and sisters. We'd love everyone in a significant way because they matter, because we're all part of the deal, right? Nobody gets left out. No one can be left out. In fact, here's what I wrap up with in 1 Corinthians. Look at this. This is talking about the body, but just get the concept of the whole thing. It says, look at this in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. And now he continues to explain that. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, black or white, or whatever it might be, and all that were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many, right? Of course. Look at this in verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body, right? Of course not. If the foot says, hey, I'm not a hand, I'm just kind of an ugly foot that gets fungus on it, and the hand is cooler, and I'm not a hand, and therefore I'm not part of the body, it doesn't work that way. Verse 16, and if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body, of course. If the ear, that's not all that attractive, let's face it. It's a kind of an odd piece of the body. I mean, we've got a picture up here. I mean, really, I'm just thinking, if you just take it for what it is, it's weird. You guys, the eye is cooler. At least it looks cooler, right? But it doesn't work that way. We need all parts of this body. Look in verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, I love this. I just want to laugh. I just think Paul would have been great on Saturday Night Live. You know, these skits would have been awesome. Just to make the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? All right, of course. And if the whole body were an ear, that would be gross. And where would the sense of smell be? But, let's circle it. But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each of one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? It would be weird. It would be dysfunctional. It wouldn't function at all. It wouldn't work. Verse 20, as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. There is, in the body of Christ, this is so right? In the human family, this attitude serves us to do that. You know, so even today, my personal opinion, the city will not do well without the county. And the county actually can't do well without the city. And yet we're so divided. It's so stretched. We need to be with each other. Now, the people who can model that is us. It's us. We have to do that. No one else is going to model that. We have to do that. We should do that. And it has to be in the body first. We have to love each other so that we have some substance to with which to love outside of the body. Right? It's amazing. So our belongingness is we belong to each other. But first of all, we belong to him. So here's the deal. How can we experience belongingness? Let's just answer this kind of summary form here. First of all, our identity or where we belong has fundamentally and foundationally been changed. Our identity and where we belong. Because where you belong is your identity, right? Like, oh my gosh, that's who I am. And we now belong to the day and not to the night. We belong to what is right, to do what is right, to do what is good, to do what is holy, to do that which is in the light. That's where we belong. That's who's made us. He has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness and put us in the kingdom of light. That's what he called us, to be citizens of the kingdom. And to do that which is right and good. That's why we team with Thrive. Because it matters. You see, these women who are struggling through this whole issue matter. The men who are involved in that matter. These little kids, babies, matter. They matter deeply to who God is. Wow. He has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness and put us in the kingdom of light. And he says, that's where you belong. You belong to the day. That's who you're, what your identity is. Wow. Now, secondly, our identity or where we belong has fundamentally and foundationally been changed. And now we belong not in isolation, but in relationship to and with one another. That's where we belong to each other. In isolation, we don't do well, right? In isolation, all you are is an eye. And as cool as the eye is, by itself, it's not that great. It needs to be connected to the cheekbone. And the cheekbone needs to be connected to the nose bone. And just go on. And you know all that song you did when you were a kid? It's right. It's all connected to the next bone. It works best when we're all connected. Some of you are the feet of Christ. For those of you who do setup and breakdown, Diane's been talking to me this past couple of weeks about you guys and gals. For those of you who do setup and breakdown, you are the feet of Christ, the arms of Christ, every Sunday morning, before and after. Because you choose, man, we're going to sacrifice. So she said, Kevin, you got to make sure you tell them thank you. And she's right. Thank you guys so much. Some of you are the eyes of Christ. Some of you are the mouth of Christ. Some of you are the ear. Some of you are the shoulder. Some of you are the back. Some of you, well, we'll just stop right there. Some of you, you know, we all just fit together, right, to make this thing work. We need each other. Of course we do. So, because here's the deal. Let me go back to our vision. And this is what we're trying to live out. Here's our vision statement. To be a people in a place where the skeptic, the inquirer, and the already convinced can together find room and reason to belong and to believe and to be transformed. And we want to invite people into that. In fact, we want to do this. We want to invite people, be a church that invites people into a circle of relationships, people who are facing life's challenges, people who are dealing with life's hurts, people who are even battling with discouragement and despair, that we want to be a place that they are welcome because, this bottom one, because we all need to be encouraged and built up by one another. And you can't do it isolated from each other. You have to be connected. So there's really three things it seems to me that we need to know. First of all is this. We need to embrace our identity of belonging to the day. To wake up tomorrow morning and be excited about the fact that you belong to Christ. And you belong to the day. And he has called you to this holy life. Not a perfect life. You know, it's not like you're going to be Mr. Slick or Miss Slick, you know. We're just going to be ourselves, but say, God, live your life in me and through me. I want to be a person of the day. So today, can I be someone who would encourage someone else and build up each other? Because our identity, really this, our identity, the second one, our identity motivates us to encourage and build up one another. It motivates, it makes a difference. We are people of the day. Who is going to spread light tomorrow if it's not you? Nobody. It's going to be you. It's going to be us that need to spread that. And third, you need to know that each of us is a vitally important part of the whole. Every person matters. Is it true that black lives matter? Absolutely. Is it true that every life matters? Absolutely. But in a nation that many times this issue of black and white has been so destructive, I want to say that every life matters, whether it be unborn, young born, middle born, black born, white born, brown born. It doesn't matter. They all matter, right? Life matters. And we need to make a difference in all of this. So, last question for this morning. Where are you connected? Where are you involved? Where are you functioning as part of the body? Now, you guys, let me just tell you, I'm not going to make you sign up as you head out the door, okay? I'm not going to make you join a small group. I'm not going to chastise you for anything, okay? The question I just want you to go home with is, where are you really, really, really connected? Where are you in a place where you can be known and you can know others? Where you can invest in love and you can in love others? Where are you connected in a way that matters? And so that's one of the questions I think we have to answer as a church as we go down the road is, do we have the kinds of places that work for you to connect? And do we have a place for your neighbor to connect? Do we have places where the guy who lives across the street that doesn't mow his lawn until it's 4 feet high, that he can connect? Do we have a place where the person that you work with that drives you crazy can connect and be a part and be known and be loved? The person who's struggling with the issues of life? Is there a place that they can connect and be in relationship? Now, they're not easy, right? Because you get to next to people and all of a sudden you find their rough sides and their quirky stuff and their broken parts. And you go, well, this isn't much fun. I was looking for a perfect place. Well, if you're looking for a perfect place, I really would encourage you. There are some other churches down the street. They're going to come far closer to that than this place. Because we're pretty broken. We've got a lot of quirky things. Your acting senior pastor is a bit strange. I mean, let's just face it. Right? I mean, of course, this is true. I mean, if that's the model for what we're about, it's going to be a weird place. But if you're weird like us, then you're welcome here. You know, if you're dealing with life's issues and battling even despair and discouragement, then you're welcome here to be a part of this whole thing. And so my question is, where are you connected? So we have some BLTs. Those are kind of mid-sized groups that you could join. We have some men's groups, some women's groups. We have a young adults group. We have a salsas group, which is a single adult lady sharing adventure. It's totally a fun group. We want to create opportunities for you to be connected. And if we don't have the right place, then help us do it, okay? Because we want you to be able to really be connected, to belong. That people of the day would really share the light by encouraging and building up one another, because we are many parts, but one body. That's what we're supposed to be. And where are you connected is the question. So answer that one for yourself here in the next week, two, three, and begin to do something about it. To say, okay, I'm going to, by a step of faith, I'm going to move towards people. I'm going to move towards these broken, strange individuals and see if I can connect. All right? Because that's what it means to belong. Okay. You guys, let me pray for us because we need it. Father, my temptation would be to say, Father, would you do a radical thing in us? That we would be people that would be able to connect with one another. Because we belong to the day, that we would live it out and you would do something radical. But I don't know what radical means for sure. And so, Father, I pray that you would do something real in each one of us to change our trajectory of our lives to be more connected. That you would allow us to be people of the light, people of the day, that you would strengthen us to live that out, that you would give us a conviction and a motivation to encourage one another and to build up one another wherever we go and whatever we do in life. Father, this morning we do pray for all of the things that go on in the Thrive ministry, but not just in their ministry, but Father, help us to be those people. Help us to be those who would engage and enter into this place of incredible turmoil on an unplanned pregnancy or a confusing spot in this gal and guy's life. Father, I pray that you would make us different as part of the St. Louis region in this area between black and white. That we would cross the line, that we would cross over to uncomfortable places to love those who are different than us. And Father, it seems to me that government has gone as far as it can go. Now it is an issue of the heart. It is an issue of our heart. And I pray that you would fill our hearts and move us to a new place. Because we want to be people who belong to the day. And we want to belong to this day. To make a difference. And so, Father, it's to that end that we pray. And we pray in the name of your Son, who actually is the cornerstone of all of life. And that we would love him deeply. And as a result, that we would love our neighbor. And so we give ourselves to that. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.